Name 371 is Mahidhara, which means the holder of the earth or the supporter of the earth. This name already came at 319. This I'm reading now is 371. Several other names are repeated. Anyway, I'll talk about it a little bit. This name might seem to be primitively geocentric. To explain that, according to modern science, the Earth is just one planet of many in the universe. Well, that's according to Vedic cosmography also, cosmology. The Earth, some years ago, was photographed from deep space. That means not very far, but by our estimation, quite far. And the photograph was seen in the photograph, just like we see the night sky with millions of stars and illuminating objects. So the Earth was seen as one dim blob among so many, and the now deceased, I believe, Nobel Prize winner or laureate, Carl Sagan, an astronomer who actually Bhakti Srivadamata Maharaj had some discussion with, he commented, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly, to say that, well, that's it, that's the Earth, the same Earth on which so many people have lived and died with all their hopes and their dreams and empires and conquerors and confident religions have come and gone. That's it. It's just a blob in the universe. So the fact that in Vedic culture, Vishnu is called Mahidhara, the holder of the earth, might seem to reflect a primitive notion that, well, the earth is the center of everything and God gives special attention to it. But that idea is disproved by modern or contemporary space exploration. But actually, it's not disproved by that, because in Shastra it's accepted that there are many different bodies within space, within the universe. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. It's accepted that there are not only many planets, but there are multiple universes, which means the word universe is no longer meaningful, because universe means there's only one. Multiverse is a new term. In each universe there are millions of billions of so many different planets, and all have their own specific atmosphere. And everything is maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original person who Brahma prays to herein. That they all have their own specific atmosphere, it's understood, because different living beings are taking birth in different planets, in different situations, according to their desires and what they've deserved. So, on some planets there are great facilities for sensual enjoyment. On some planets, there are arrangements for severe suffering. And the Earth planet is special because it's neither full of enjoyment, material enjoyment, which intoxicates so that one thinks that, this is so nice. And then one has no propensity, or one's propensity for spiritual advancement becomes very much diminished. Just like we often have summer camps, our ISKCON society, maybe not in Ireland, but in other countries where there's a big tent or pandal is arranged and lectures are going on throughout the day. And in such summer camps, for participation in the spiritual programs, the best is to have cold, wet weather. And if it's sunny outside, everyone likes to go in the sunshine. They don't like to hear about Krishna. Well, not everyone. But the attendance is noticeably less when the weather is good. So when the idea seems to be, well, why the weather? When the weather is good, of course, in India, if the sun's out, you want to get out of it because it's too hot. But we can see immediately that the tendency to hear about Krishna gets diminished by the tendency to enjoy the sunshine. Similarly, in places where there's intense, where the suffering is felt intensely. Actually, everywhere there's suffering, but there are places, situations where the suffering is felt intensely. Just like at the present time, it might not be very conducive for preaching to try preaching in that, well, it's called a country, Iraq. It's not really a country anymore, but wouldn't be a very good idea to do that, apart from the fact that most people, almost everyone there, subscribes to a religious system which is not very open to hearing anything else, but the whole situation is so disturbed that people are not likely to be in much mood of listening to any theological philosophy. So even on this planet, we can see that there are some situations which are conducive to sense enjoyment. Janmaishvarya Shutashri, if people have birth in a prestigious family or nation, if they are endowed with much wealth, if they are highly educated, they have what's called the academic ego, or if they're physically very beautiful, then the pride that comes from that, that often comes from that, is non-conducive to spiritual inquiry. And so that we see on this planet, and on this planet we see situations of great suffering, increasingly so as Kali Yuga continues. But in general, this Earth planet is suitable for spiritual realization because it's neither a situation of intense enjoyment nor of intense suffering, but it's somewhere in between, and therefore it's suitable for spiritual realization, and therefore it is mainly on this planet that the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. He also descends on other planets, just like Vamana Dev appears in the heavenly planets. Nrsimha Dev appeared in the heavenly planets. But generally he appears on this planet, and the replica of his eternal abodes, or the non-different manifestation of his eternal abodes in the spiritual world, are also manifest on this planet, and also specifically in the land known as Bharata, which is becoming smaller and smaller gradually, but there are so many places connected with the pastimes of Krishna. So this earth is very special. It's known in Vedic cosmology that there are many planets. It's not just we think, well, we're on the earth and that's all there is. That's all that's important. Those who subscribe to the Abrahamic view of life, Abrahamic religions, they can't explain why God should create a huge universe with many planets and only on this earth do living beings, do human beings exist, and then God intervenes, or in the Christian religion comes personally to save persons on this planet, then why did he create all the rest of the universe? What for? They don't have an explanation, as far as I know, for that. But in Vedic understanding, it's understood that all the planets are places where there are living beings. But this earth is still special, and therefore Krishna is referred to as Mahidhara, one who holds the earth. Do we need the light on? If not, we can turn it off. He holds the earth as Varaha Avatar. Shankaracharya says that he holds the earth by the mountains. You might think the earth holds the mountains, but Shankara gives a quotation from Shastra, says from the Vishnu Purana, Vanani Vishnu Giraya Dishascha, that the forest, mountains, and directions are all Vishnu. So, could be something like a suspension bridge, which from holds from above. Another meaning that he holds up the earth, he maintains the earth by coming here time to time and vinashayata dushkritam, clears out all the demons. He upholds the earth by accepting the worship of his devotees, and therefore the atmosphere of the earth is kept purified. Another understanding is that he supports the earth in the way that cotton supports cloth, gold supports ornaments, and the ocean supports the waves as the very ingredient, as the he is non-different from the everything. So the ingredients of the material energy, they are non-different from Krishna. He manifests them. So in that way, he's also the upholder of the earth. Name 372 is Mahabhaga. Maha means great, and Bhaga means share, share in a sacrifice. And Bhaga is related to the word bhagya, which means fortune. As in English, bhagya, if you say fortune, it generally means good fortune. You can also say bad fortune, but if you just say fortune, it generally means good fortune. So in Sanskrit also, you can say subhagya, good fortune, and durbhagya, bad luck. So this name means that he's extremely fortunate. Now this would be, is to be understood to be different to the fortune or the good luck of the jiva, because the good luck of the jiva depends on his prosperity or anything that good comes to him comes as a result of his good actions. Someone who performs good actions gets good results. Someone who does bad actions gets bad results. But Krishna, he is intrinsically and incontestably, irreversibly, eternally, the abode of all auspiciousness. So no misfortune can ever touch him. And that's true of his devotees also. Although it might seem that devotees, they have a hard time. But actually, devotees always have the highest good luck. Even if a devotee has to go through so many difficulties in this world, they're actually the most fortunate because they're in contact with Krishna, and those difficulties are just arranged by Krishna as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, he called it the fire of ordeal, referring to the medieval system of justice, if you want to call it that, people would have to, Someone who's accused of a crime would have to take hold of a red hot iron, and if their hand burned, they were guilty, and if their hand didn't burn, they were not guilty. And the idea that if you're not guilty, God will protect you. It's what nowadays you would call a primitive form of justice. But the devotees are put through so many difficulties just to bring them closer to Krishna, to test if they are, if they want to come close to Krishna, and to convince them that actually this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman. So the devotees, they find in all the difficulties, they find Krishna at the end of it, and then all the difficulties seem that it was worth everything. That are so many difficulties they may, not every devotee goes through many difficulties, but a devotee may have to go through so many difficulties. But at the end, when he finds Krishna, he thinks that the difficulties were insignificant and trifling in comparison to the reward he's got, which is attainment of pure devotional service, to attain Krishna. Krishna, even if we want to examine Krishna from the materialistic point of view, which isn't exactly correct, but Krishna lived in great opulence in Dwarka with 16,108 queens. If anyone had even one wife as beautiful as any one of those queens, that would be considered a sign of good karma, or good fortune. If one had 16,108 queens, it might seem to be a big headache. How can you maintain them all and keep them happy? Because one man can only deal intimately with a few. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when discussing this point, he gave the example of one Nawab, Muslim ruler at Lucknow, who had more than 1,000 queens, begums, they're called. But most of them, they never saw him. Or they didn't know him even, because how many people can you intimately associate with? But Krishna, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, so that each queen thought that Krishna's with me all the time. I'm the lucky one. I'm the chosen one. And each of them, in each palace, was immense opulence. Krishna's courthouse that was taken from the heavenly planets. The members of the Yadu dynasty, when Dwarka was being founded, they thought, well, let's see. Now we need a good courthouse here for Dwarka. Can't be anything on the platform of this earth. Should be better. So they all went out to the heavenly planets and just took it away. And Indra and company, they couldn't do anything. So Krishna always resides in the great. The description, the greatest opulence, the descriptions are there of the floors are made of marble and coral, pearls, everything is just extremely opulent. And Vrindavan is even more opulent. We generally think that Vrindavan is less opulent, but actually it's even much more opulent than Dwarka in terms of gold, jewels, silver, pearls, onyx, and so on and so on. It's just that in Golok Vrindavan, the devotees don't even notice it because they're charmed by the simple natural beauty of Krishna. Then Krishna, he has all the everything that others aspire for, Krishna naturally has. Whatever others aspire for, they get by the grace of Krishna. Just like someone may be a yogi and aspire for yogic perfection, to be able to manifest different forms and take any form at will, and go here and there and read others' minds and control others' minds. But those opulences just naturally exist in Krishna without any effort whatsoever. a more literal meaning of the word Mahabhaga is that he takes the major portion of the sacrifice. In the sacrifices, there may be a sacrifice which is offered to Indra or whatever, but actually the enjoyer of all sacrifices is Krishna. So he takes all the shares in the sacrifice. Similarly, when the Govardhan Hill was worshipped, having Krishna having told his father not to worship Indra, told him to worship Govardhan, and Krishna took a giant form and consumed all the offerings there. Baladev Vidyabhushan, who is the Gauriya Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam and gives generally explains each name in terms of Krishna, he gave the explanation that from the perspective of the Vrajavasis, they thought that, oh, Krishna is so fortunate. So many demons come and attack him, and every time by good luck he's saved. The next name is Vegavan. Vega means speed. So Krishna is speedy. Krishna is very quick. Vague also means sensual impulse, as we know from the first verse of Sri Upadeshamrita Vacho, Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yovishaheta Dhira Sarvam Apimam Prithivim Sasishat. This verse, which is also appears elsewhere in Mahabharata and elsewhere in almost similar forms, states that there are the impulses, the urges of the urge to speak, blah 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 blah, blabber on and on, prajalpa, vacho vega, the urges of the mind to wander here and there, the urge of anger to express one's discontent, the urge to eat all nice foods, the urge to pack one's belly, the urge to indulge one's genital. So this and all other sensual urges, a person who can tolerate them, that means just to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Such a person is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So Krishna is very quick, and is he impulsive? Well, an impulsive person is one who's not in control of his senses. Someone who's just ruled by his senses. But Krishna is both quick and he's impulsive in the sense that he doesn't hesitate to help his devotees, to act to help his devotees. Just like there are many instances when Gajendra called out to him, he came. He didn't think, well, I have this to do and that to do and I can't come, I'm too busy. He immediately came. There's just one of many, many examples of how Krishna, his strong tendency is to protect his devotees. He told Durvasa Muni, when Durvasa said, please save me from this, it's your Sudarshan Chakra, so tell him to get off my neck. But Krishna said, I can't. Aham bhakta paradhino nahi svatantra eva dvija. He said, I'm not independent. Don't believe what's in the first verse of Bhagavatam. I'm not independent. I'm dependent on my devotees, so I can't do it. I can't bring myself. I'm the holder of the Sudarshan Chakra. I ordered the Sudarshan Chakra that whenever my devotees are harassed, just like you harassed Ambarish, to go and punish that wrongdoer. But theoretically, I could withdraw Sudarshan Chakra, but I can't because I'm under the control of my devotees. So Krishna, he impulsively, not that he's under the control of his senses, but his very strong tendency is to act to help his devotees. So Krishna acts impulsively in that way. He's also very fast, as is described in the Sri Ishopanishad. Manaso Javiya. He's swift, he moves swifter than the mind. That's why the yogis, they can't catch him. No one can catch him. Only he can be caught only by devotion. And Mother Yashoda can tie him up, but an athlete can't catch him, and a yogi can't catch him. When Krishna ran away from Kala, the Yavana, the 18th time that Jarasandha attacked Mathura, at the same time Kala, the Yavana, also attacked, and Krishna ran away. And it looked like Krishna was just strolling, that he wasn't exerting any great effort, but Kala, this athletic demon, was running as fast as he could, but he still couldn't catch Krishna. He was a fool. He was a fool to oppose Krishna in the first place, and he was also a fool to think that he could catch Krishna simply by running, because Krishna can only be caught by love. The Sri Vaishnava commentator says that even when he was a child, Krishna, his actions were displaying his irresistible supremacy and lordship. I'm not sure how that fits with the name Vegavan. Another example of his quickness, that when Rukmini sent a letter that, hey, you better come quick and kidnap me, and Krishna, without hesitation, jumped on his horse and ran, galloped off from Dwaraka to Vidarbha and kidnapped, and very opportunely kidnapped Rukmini. There wasn't much, she said, there's not much time. She wrote in the letter, there's not much time. If you're going to do it right now. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. So Krishna, impulsively, if you like, he said, okay, let's go, and went very quickly and kidnapped her. So we can't catch him by the mind, we can't catch him by the body, we can't catch him by trying to show how great we are. We can't subdue him by trying to show that we're very powerful, we're all very insignificant in relationship with Krishna. Reason, logic, even lifetimes of logical lucubrations cannot help us to understand Krishna. Name 374 is Amitashana, which means the unlimited eater. There is already one named Mahashana, which means a great eater, and this is taking it even further. He's unlimited eater. In Puri, there are 52 huge offerings daily. He gobbles them all up. In Dwaraka, he eats daily in the house 16,108 palaces, and his queens, they feed him very nicely. They don't give him small offerings. Krishna's not fasting. Maybe as Nara Narayan, he exhibits austerity. All facets are in Krishna, but generally he's a good eater. When at Krishna Balaram temple, in the early days, there wasn't much income, and the offerings were very small. The bhog offerings, the offerings of food to Krishna, were very small. And the devotee who was cooking wasn't very happy with it. They wanted to cook big offerings for Krishna. So the question came to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said that we should feed Krishna like a hungry young boy, healthy young boy. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave how many puris, breakfast, 8 puris, and this and that, and so on. Krishna, he likes to eat, and he likes to eat in large quantities. In Vrindavan, he's fed daily not only by Yashoda, but there are so many, especially when he took the form of all the cowherd boys, then all the gopis of the age group around that of Yashoda, they would feed him, and they would feed him opulently. Opulently means especially plenty of milk products, and Krishna was very happy to take them all. We see pictures of baby Krishna. He's a chubby baby. He's not a skinny baby. So the milk products make him very chubby, and he would take plenty of milk from the cows, and even after eating so much, he would go and steal more also. So he has an endless appetite. His appetite is for love. In Dwarka, not only is he fed in each palace, but there are also so many other members of the Yadu dynasty who would invite him. Huge dynasty, and Krishna would go and honor their invitations. Also, another thing is that, well, he eats everything. Grasishnu Prabhavishnu cha. Grasishnu means he eats everything, in the sense that ultimately he devours everything, he destroys everything, everything is dissolved in him. Another way this name can be understood is that he provides the eating to everyone. So, which is, that's unlimited. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko yo bahubir vidatati kama. There is, among all the eternals, there is one supreme eternal, conscious living being who supplies all the necessities to all the others. So whatever we eat, that is supplied by Krishna, and that's true for every living being, from the tiny ant to the big elephant, to the eagles that eat elephants, to the timingala that gobble up whales. Krishna supplies the food for everyone. And that example of Govardhan also, that Krishna, all the massive amounts of food that were offered in Govardhan Puja, Krishna just gobbled them up. And of course Krishna, so many temples are there of Krishna, not only on this planet, on other planets, and Krishna accepts so many offerings from all the devotees. And just in a fraction of a second, he very quickly ate all that food that was heaped up like a mountain at Govardhan. The name of, he swallows, what to speak of eating food, he swallows the whole universe at the time of universal devastation. There's nothing that he can't digest. And even everything that we digest, that is by his agency. He says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita prana apana samayukta pachami aham chaturvidham. He says that I, as the fire of digestion, digest everything that everyone eats. So we should remember that we're eating, and the ability to digest, that also comes from Krishna. So when we're eating, some people, traditionally in India, some people before taking their meals, they quote this verse, Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita prana apana samayukta taf pachamianam pachamiaham. Remembering that everything is connected with Krishna. So Krishna can eat unlimitedly. He's a hungry god. He's hungry for his devotees' love. He doesn't need our food, but he accepts food offered to him with love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayacchati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatapamaha. He accepts food that is offered to him with love, as he likes the food also, but it's also a medium by which the love is expressed. Going back to Mahidhara. Baladev Vidyabhusha says, I don't understand how this is derived from the name Mahidhara, but he says, his birthday is a great celebration in Gokul, where his transcendental names, pastimes, qualities, and forms are glorified. Mahabhaga means that devotional service to him is the best of all spiritual activities. So yes, so one becomes most fortunate if one engages in devotional service to him. That's the actual great fortune. Ramanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One who is very fortunate, wandering, one out of the many, many living beings wandering in this universe, one who is very fortunate gets the seed of the creeper of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Vegavan, Krishna is faster than anyone. That means he's ahead of everyone always. And in Vrindavan, he would run around here and there very quickly playing games while herding the cows with his cowherd boyfriends. All right, and that's the end of that verse. And finish there, unless there are any questions about this or anything else. Anything? All right, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.